if you're going to have a fight, there's three things that you got going on. You have an important objective. Man, if you're going to fight over it, it's important to you. And you're trying to accomplish something. Now, often it's just I'm bigger than you, which isn't a good objective, but it is an objective. You have an enemy. You got somebody you have to fight. And it's going to mean you're going to have pain. Even if you win, it's going to hurt. So, well, what's our objective in this fight? If we're to fight, what's our objective? Well, it says fight the good fight of the faith. It says to take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. It doesn't say earn your eternal life. It says it's there. It said Timothy had eternal life. He'd made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He confessed, I trust Jesus for my sin. I understand it's only Jesus that can make me right with God. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. That gains us our eternal life. But apparently to possess it, to take hold of it, which I think, you know, to really experience it, that's what that says to me. To have that eternal life become real to me is not automatic. I must fight to have that be the case. For me to have a real experience of my eternal life and to live it now and not just wait till I'm dead, I've got to fight. So to have a rich, full spiritual life, if you're just waiting for God to just have that showered down upon you, well, you can stop. If you think, well, I just need to listen to one more sermon and it'll happen. Well, you can stay home, but don't come. Sleep in. Because if you're not going to fight, you're not going to take hold of it. You have to, in faith, believe these things. You have to want the things of God. You have to fight to get them. They have to be your objective. I like these verses from Proverbs. It says, my son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, listening closely to wisdom and directing your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out for insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Sometimes we think, you know, we're just waiting for God to make it happen. God's saying, I'm waiting for you to want it. And if you want it like this, boom, I'll strongly support you. Now, this is not saying we have to be perfect. And we have to be clear on this. But it's a matter of your heart. Give me your heart, my son. Let your eyes look to my ways. If you're walking through life and your eyes are on everything else, guess what? You're not going to find a real rich relationship with God. It has to become our treasure. Jesus echoed this in many ways, told a lot of parables about people finding a treasure and then going and selling everything they have to be able to gain it. And that's the spirit here that I think he's talking about. It's like, and we have a great treasure. We have been reconnected to God. We have eternal life waiting for us. We have this huge treasure. We have heaven waiting for us. And we need to fall in love with that treasure. And we need to go sell all that we have to get it. It needs to become our great goal, great desire. Laying a hold of it is a struggle. You can't see God? How do you have a real relationship with a God you can't see? I mean, I've been working on it for 40-some years. It's not that easy. You got to work at it. Now, I feel like I've gotten some of it. But it's only because I've focused on it and cried out to God and asked him to reveal himself to me and spend time with him. If you don't do that, it's probably not going to happen. You got to have it as your objective. It must become the center of your heart. Okay, so you got an objective. Kingdom of Heaven is like treasure buried in a field, man found and reburied. In his joy, he goes and he sells all he has to get that field. Okay, so what's our opposition? Well, here's our opposition. We're fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world. The Bible, you know, paints this picture that we're the two things, these are in competition, the world and the kingdom of God. They're in competition always. And there's, you know, there's things just tugging at us from the world that we ask us to love them, ask us to give our life to them. And then on the other side, there's God going, no, love me, give yourself to me and my kingdom. Bible's really clear. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There is a constant struggle to live for this life rather than the next. To believe that life comes from the things of the world rather than the things of God. It's better to have treasure here, you know, better to have, you know, the Tesla S, whatever, than it is to know God. And the fight is not to allow our life to be consumed in the things that this world offers, but to fall in love with God. And, you know, we live in a time and place where, man, there's so much the world offers. I mean, there's just lots of cool stuff out there. And we can give our heart to those things. But like Jesus, we must win the battle. What was the first battle he fought? He had to go and learn, man does not live by bread alone, but on everything that comes from the mouth of God. We have to learn the same thing. We have to fight the same battle. And it's a constant struggle because of our flesh. Now, we've been made new. We're new creatures. God has given us new life, but there's part of us that's not yet redeemed. And that part, the Bible calls our flesh. And it's what's hooked to this world. It's what's satisfied by all the things in this world. It wants what it wants, and it tells us all the time, that's what I want. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And we got to get good at going, you know, no. No, there's better things. And we're going to do those things. And the flesh just can't stop. It's no way. It says the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit to God's law. It can't. It's impossible. It can only connect to this world. And there's part of you that can only connect to this world and wants life there always. And in faith, we have to go, no, there's better. And of course, we must forget we have an enemy, a real enemy. Be sober-minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. You know, as real as our salvation and new life in God is, we can't forget there is a real, powerful being that is trying to harm us. It's real. And it's not just that we fail. It's not just that we're weak. That's all true, but there's more. I mean, what else could explain what we just saw at the Olympics, people? There is a war in this world against God. There are evil forces that hate God. And they don't hate Allah, and they don't hate Buddha, and they hate Jesus. This is a war against the spiritual world, against Jesus. And we're his children. And the war is leveled at us. And right now around the globe today, many are giving their lives in this war. It's real. Our whole culture tells us it's not real. It is. It's real. And we are a target. If you know Jesus, and we have to be aware of that. So that's why, you know, so with our objective is we have to somehow fight to love God and fall in love with the things of the kingdom. We have real opposition, and that's why there's going to be real pain. Our adversary is cunning and cruel, and the spiritual war rages. And that's why God tells us this, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or me as prisoner. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. See, there is power from God. God will strongly support us. He says, if we'll give him our heart, there's strong support from God. But we have to learn to how to rely on it and how to have that give us courage. You know, pain, God gave us pain. If I stick my hand in the fire, it hurts. And God put that in there so I'll go, oh, I should take it out. But in this case, when there's pain, we have to go, oh, we're in the right spot. And God gave me strength to stay in the fire. That's what God's asked us to do. So those are the things, I think, that are involved in the real fight that we have been given by God. Paul said to Timothy, he says, look, in the presence of God, another really solemn charge to him. It's like, the presence of God, I'm telling you this. You got to do it. You got to be faithful. You got to hang in there until Jesus Christ comes back. How long is this battle going to go on? Well, it's going to rage on this planet until Jesus comes back. And it's been required of us, if we've been given this trust, we must prove faithful. God asks us to be faithful with this. So don't be ashamed of me or the testimony about our Lord. Instead, share in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. In the presence of God who gives life to all, and of Jesus Christ who gave a good confession before Pontius Pilate, I charge you to keep this command without fault or failure until the appearing of our Lord Jesus. Again, another, he reiterates this solemn charge we have. And God will bring this about in his own time. He is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, with whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal power. Amen. You know, and I think we ought to, you know, we just need to pause here and look at this and realize who it is that we serve. Listen, God's going to bring this entire world to stop at a certain point. Jesus is going to come back and has the authority to command and stop everything that is going to happen on this planet. And it's going to happen. It's going to be brought about at the exact moment that the Father wants. Nothing can stop it. And we serve the Lord who dwells in unapproachable light. The King of kings, the Lord of lords. This is the one who has called us and asked us to be faithful. This is the one whom we asked to save us. This is the one who died on our behalf. I mean, the things we deal with are so immense and they're so unbelievably amazing. They must change us. And Jesus made the good confession, and I thought, well, you know, what is that? I guess he just confessed that heaven was better than earth, and it was better to go to the cross for the Father than it was to try to wiggle out. Because he didn't say much. Okay, so now we got another, he tags on. I sort of feel like, okay, we ought to just stop there. That's enough. But Paul kept going because sometimes he was a little excessive. So again, he goes back. Paul talked about this last week. He talked about to the wealthy. And somehow Paul thought it was important enough after all that to reiterate some thoughts on being rich. So he says, instruct those who are rich in the present age not to be arrogant or to set their hope on the uncertainty of wealth, but on God, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and willing to share, storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of what is truly life. So once again, we have to figure out, okay, well, is this talking to us, or is this just Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos? You know, are they the rich guys? Who's the rich guys? Who's rich? Well, I think one of the great things God has done for me He's blessed me in so many ways, but I've gotten to do a lot of mission trips to Latin America. I've gotten to see people who are living in very different conditions, and that's helped me a lot. But one of the things that really happened that stuck with me through my entire life is when my second daughter was a little girl, we were coming home one day, driving home, and she was looking out the window at all these houses, and I live in a very nice house now, but until before that, we lived in a pretty small house. And so we were driving by, and most of these houses she was looking at out the window were much larger than ours. And she goes, "Daddy, are we rich?" And I thought, oh, okay, so my daughter's asking me really a good question here. And somehow God just spoke to my soul in that moment and just flooded into my mind all the blessings that I had. I had a good job. I had a car. I had a wife and kids that loved me. I had food every day. And I thought, you know what? I am really rich. God has been really good to me. And that's just stuck with me all through my life. And I think, yeah, we're rich. I think one of the saddest things about being an atheist is you don't have anybody to be grateful to. And one of the best things we have is we have somebody that we can really be thankful for. Because when you realize you're rich and you're a believer, the next thing is, oh, God chose to make me rich. God gave me all this stuff. And it really, I think it's just such a blessing to, it says don't be arrogant. Don't you rich people. So we can all go out and buy a $5 coffee pretty much whenever we want, right? Most of us here. So we're all rich, okay? If you can go out and buy a $5 coffee, you're pretty rich. Because I've been places where people don't have beans to eat for dinner, So we're all, I think we can apply this to us. And we're not supposed to be arrogant. We're supposed to realize God has blessed us. God's been good to us. God's been kind to us. And we're not to set our hope on the uncertainty of wealth. That's what money is. Who was it? One of the really rich guys in the past said, I don't love money, but it sure quiets my nerves. Just because you think, well, if I got a lot of money, I don't need to worry about the future. That's what we think, right? We think money is the security against the future. But he says here, don't do that. That's not true. It does not provide security for the future, but God does. And then I love it. It says, who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Listen, I want you to think about the things you really like. That really you just think, wow, they're just so good when you have all those things come from God. I mean, the world makes imitation things that kind of make us happy for a little bit, but all the things that you really, really, really enjoy, they come from God. Go tubing on the river, all the stuff we love. We think, oh, I like to get out in nature. I like to do this. Well, those are all God things. He's the one that knows how to give us things that are good. And he'll always be there, right? He's never going away. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We got promises from him that says he's going to take care of us. So let's set our hope there. Not on wealth, not on the things of this world. Those things are not trustworthy. They're tricksy, wicked, false, as, Gollum said. So instruct them to do what is good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be willing to share. Don't you feel better when you're that? I mean, when you're generous, don't you feel like, wow, I'm glad I was generous? I always do. Beforehand, it's always a fight. Afterwards, I'm always like, oh, I should have been more generous. And that way, it says you store up treasure for yourself. If you're smart, and you young people in here listen to this, you should be saving for your future. But you should really be generous toward God. It's a better, surer foundation. God has, I'll just say for me, this is what's been true in my life. God is good. God takes care of you. God is trustworthy. We can take him to the bank, in a sense. I've done that several times in my life, and it's always worked out. And if you want to really, and that's just talking about the here, like Paul talked about, there's, you know, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe that. But there's way better coming. And we're really smart to lay up treasure. As Jesus said, don't store up treasure on earth, but store up treasure in heaven. That's a much surer foundation, where moth does not eat, rust does not corrupt. It'll never be lost there. Nothing put in that bank is ever lost. So that's what I'm supposed to command you guys. So do that, okay? Do that. You'll have a great life. God will be faithful. God will be honored, and he will honor and bless you. And in that way, you may take hold of that which is truly life. You know, we talked about if you're going to be a man of God and you want to really get a hold of God and you want to be able to look people in the eye and be able to tell them, look, I know God. I really do have a real relationship. God and I have walked together. If you want to be able to honestly look people in the eye and say that, it could be your money that's standing in the way. If you're not willing to invest real things, be generous with real things, and money to us is really real, then you may not discover the reality of God. And I think that's why Paul ends here, after all that other great stuff that he did. So I think it is important. And in America, where we're all real wealthy, we have to watch this. And I was going to finish with the parable of the shrewd manager, but for the sake of time and all the other things we've gone through, I'll stop. But so here's the deal. It is open. If you want to be a man or woman of God, you can be. You can give up your life. You're going to give it up one way or another. It'll just be robbed from you little by little in things that you'll look back on and go, that was dumb. Or you can give it. You can make a decision. You can go, you know what? I'm going to start following God. I'm going to start sacrificing real things in this life so that I can get to know him. I'm going to start getting up. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to write some stuff down. I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask God, please, God, show yourself to me. And I'm going to do it consistently. I'm not going to wilt after 2 days when God doesn't show up with angels in my bedroom. I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to pursue him until God comes through. God will show himself to you. He will. You'll be a man or woman of God, and you'll become a blessing to people around you, and you'll walk into an eternity where God will say, well done, which is an awesome thing. That's what I'm shooting for. Well done. Wouldn't that be great to hear Jesus say that to you? Welcome. Well done. It was hard, but you did it. So God, help us. Help us be men and women who break the chains of this world, who wisely look and say, oh, you know, I'd rather have God. I'm not quite sure how to get there, but I'd rather have God. God, help me. Lord, that's what we want. I pray, teach us as a church how to help one another, to encourage one another along the way, to pick one another up and help us make those choices and please you, to lay hold of the eternal life that we were given. Help us fight the good fight, Lord. And we just ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming.